gospel lesson for this morning is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. You can follow along on the scripture insert. I read in Jesus' name. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm not much of a bath person. I don't like taking baths. Maybe once every other year, I'll take a bath to relax, but I don't take baths to get clean for a couple of reasons. First of all, I'm tall enough that I don't fit in a bathtub very well. But second of all, when you take a bath, you wash the dirt off, but then you sit in your own filth. Showers are great. You stand under the water and the water washes all that filth off of you right down the drain and you actually get clean. Now, imagine for a moment, just a moment, you don't want to imagine this much longer than just a moment. Imagine taking a bath in someone else's used bath water. It's not a pleasant thought. You certainly wouldn't do that to get clean. And we're blessed in this country to not even have to consider doing such a revolting thing here, maybe not so revolting elsewhere. We don't have to consider doing that to make ourselves clean. Well, in our gospel lesson this morning, we have something like that happening. John appears on the scene and John is doing what John does. He is preaching and he is baptizing. John is preaching, he is proclaiming a baptism of repentance. A baptism which leads to and results in repentance. The grammar on this, especially in Greek, is very clear. This baptism that John is doing, it brings about repentance. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, the same thing is said. This baptism produces repentance. John isn't baptizing people because they are repentant, but this baptism that he's giving them, it causes repentance. And all sorts of people are coming to John where he is out in the Jordan River. And remember, that's where the people of Israel had come into, where they had entered into the promised land. They go out to that same area. And they enter the Jordan River and enter into, again, God's promised land. And all sorts of people were doing this. It's not just a little band of people. It's very clear again from our text. All Judea, that whole southern region, and all of Jerusalem were going out to John in order to be baptized by him, and they all go home repentant people. Imagine all of those men, all of those women, all of those children, and even all of those infants, unless there were no infants in Judea and Jerusalem, all of them being baptized. They enter the waters of the Jordan, and the water is poured on them, or they're dunked under, whichever, doesn't matter, and their sins are washed away. Now imagine having the eyes of God and looking at the Jordan River during this time. Imagine having the eyes of God and being able to see all of that sin that's been washed off, to see all of that sin in the Jordan River. It would be a cesspool. It would be toxic. If the Parks and Rec Department could see it, they'd shut down the beach and send everyone home. They'd call in teams with hazmat suits to start the cleanup effort. The headlines would all read, "Jordan River becomes toxic, filled with sin." It's to that river, to that murky and miry swamp filled with sin, that Jesus comes. And he comes to enter into those waters to be baptized. John wanted to prevent him. We don't have it in Mark, but Matthew records. John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" Saying, "What is this you're doing, Jesus? You've got it all backwards." John thinks like we do. John is thinking exactly like we do. God and sinners need to stay separate. God shouldn't come down to sinners. Sinners should move to God. They're the ones, after all, who broke the relationship with God. And we often think that way. But we're wrong. Jesus won't hear any of that talk. Jesus won't hear of staying separate from those waters, those sin-infested waters. Jesus says, "Let it be so for now to fulfill all righteousness." And Jesus goes down into those waters. But unlike all of those sinners who had committed things that they needed to repent of, Jesus had committed no sin. He had no need for repentance. So why is he baptized? Well, just the opposite of what was happening to all of those sinners who went to John, all of those people of Judea and Jerusalem, just the opposite happens to Jesus. Their sins are washed away, but Jesus, like a filter, sucks up all of the sins in that river. And they all go into him. In his baptism, Jesus becomes the sin bearer. We think often of Jesus bearing our sins on the cross, and absolutely he did. But this, his baptism, is where he picked them up. He picked them up off of us so that he could carry them to the cross. And John says as much in the Gospel of John. When John's talking to other people about when he baptized Christ, before he talks about how we baptized him, he says, "There he is, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in Jesus' baptism, he fulfills the prophecy about him from Isaiah 53:11, where God said that his servant, his righteous one, shall bear your iniquities. Jesus walks right on up to you. Doesn't ask permission. He simply takes your sin away. All done in his baptism. Paul talks about in our epistle text what baptism now does for us. It's the baptism that Christ gave to us, baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This baptism unites us in Christ's death. It picks us up from where we are and brings us to the cross and unites us with Jesus in his death. I tell parents this when we go over the baptism verses before their kids are baptized. I tell them, you know what? Bringing your kids to baptism is dangerous because God is going to kill your child. He's going to kill their sin. And I tell people over and over that in baptism, Paul says in Romans 6, in baptism, you die the only death that's going to have any lasting significance for you. You've been united with Christ in a death like his. You have died to sin. But you didn't die to sin so that you could stay there. Remember what happened to dead Jesus? He rose again. And so if you're united with Jesus in a death like his, you certainly, absolutely, no doubt whatsoever will be united with him in a resurrection like his. You are put together with Jesus, plucked from wherever you are and put together with Jesus. Now, as Jesus came up out of those sin-infested waters after being baptized, we have this violent coming of God. The heavens are ripped. They are torn open. And normally when this sort of thing happens, people are falling to the ground, terrified of what's going to happen next. But what happens here? The heavens are ripped and torn open, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, a sign of peace. And God the Father speaks those beautiful, beautiful words, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." God's delight, God's pleasure is in Jesus. And you know what? That's right where you are. Galatians 3 says, "Do you not know all of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ?" If God's pleasure is in Jesus, then God's pleasure is with you. As God was pleased with Jesus because your Savior, in that baptism, he became the sin-bearing Messiah. And Jesus gets closer to you than your sin is to you. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, so that you might receive the righteousness of God." And so wherever your sin is, there is Jesus. He refused to stay separate from you. And wherever Jesus' righteousness is, there you are as well, because God has poured his clean water on you as well, and he has made you clean. Jesus has become, for you and for your sake, most sinner, so he could be most Savior. Wherever you find your sin, there you will find Jesus. Wherever you find Jesus' righteousness, God has put you there as well. God is not aloof. He's not far off. He's not distant. He's come right to you in a very tangible, real way. Rejoice. Because now you are in Christ Jesus, and you have and you are the righteousness of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.